The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. For he is the one that forgiveth thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Jehovah is his name. Besides him, there's no one else. He's a sovereign king. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In the name of Jesus, we give glory to him. In the name of Jesus, we give praise to the Most High God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, shout hallelujah and glory to God. Tonight I expect an atmosphere of miracles. Can I hear an amen? I expect an atmosphere of breakthroughs. I expect an atmosphere where God will preside in the midst of his people and demonstrate his great power toward his people. Victory, I declare, established in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, may the word profit you tremendously. May you see advancement and progress in the name of Jesus. Please resume your seats. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Our focus is on verse 26. I'm preaching on the topic, walking into righteous declarations. Walking into righteous declarations. Now in Joshua chapter 6 verse 26, it says, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth the city Jericho. For he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So that was Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 26. Before I come to give you the background of this story, I want to mention that throughout the scriptures, God has demonstrated his authority by exercising the power of declarations. This authority was seen when, at the beginning, the Bible says darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God stood and said that let there be light, and there was light. And order came into place, and the darkness disappeared. And God continued with creation one day after the other. You would also have noticed through the scriptures that similarly, men of old who experienced outstanding victories in their lives also employed the use of this power of declarations. And vivid in my memory is 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David had to battle it out with Goliath one-on-one, and Goliath started by making declarations based on the strength of his gods against David. And David counteracted it by also making declarations in the name of the Lord of hosts. And the story ended by David prevailing against Goliath. Tonight I want to declare you will prevail against all the Goliaths that are against you. So what is a declaration? Number one, a declaration is a formal announcement. Normally when there is a holiday in this country, you would notice either from the Minister of Interior or from the office of the President or somewhere, they will say that Tuesday so-so and so has been declared a national holiday and should be observed as such. Now, just this, whether written or spoken, carries with it the force of law. And you will realize that for most part of the country, compliance in observance of that day as a holiday is what you notice. Number two, declaration is a proclamation with authority. A proclamation is an announcement of a sort. Preachers proclaim the word, and this proclamation is with power. Number three, a declaration is an explicit or an emphatic statement. It's an explicit or an emphatic statement, making known the intentions of the person who is making that statement. So it's an explicit, it's an emphatic statement, making known the intentions of the person who is saying those things. So that person is declaring that in the name of Jesus, I shall be the head and not the tail. Oh, can I hear an amen? Can I hear a better amen? That person is declaring that I shall be above only and not beneath. With this explicit, emphatic statement, you are making known your intentions. Remember, at the old Polo Grounds, over 60-something years ago, Kwame Nkrumah stood on the platform and stated that Ghana, my beloved country, is free forever. We became free from colonialism. We became free from colonial administration. And we became free from colonial management on that occasion. It was a strong declaration that Ghana was no longer under colonial domination and colonial rule. So when declarations are made, sometimes they are made by you. There are instances when others try to make declarations for you. And some of the declarations may either favor you or they may be against you. And I'm talking particularly about when others try to make declarations on your behalf. When they love you, then the declarations will be made in the spirit of righteousness, in the spirit of God, and it will be made in your favor. But when they don't like you, or hate you, or resent you, then the likelihood is that they would make this declaration in a spirit of unrighteousness and seek to undermine your progress and state something that will come with the force of law to undermine your progress. So spiritually speaking, every declaration carries it with it a force of law. Whether it's coming from the camp of the devil or it's coming from the camp of the children of God, whichever way it is said and whatever it is intended to achieve, it carries with it a force of law. So when an unfavorable declaration has been made by an enemy, whether it's man or a spirit of darkness, and it is left unchecked, then it remains in the spiritual atmosphere. And at a later date, depending on what has been said, you would realize that you would walk into the negative effect of that declaration. So as children of God, we must realize that some of these things can hurt you. If you leave them unattended to, they can harm you. They can cause pain. They can bring disappointments. They can destroy your relationship, compromise your business concerns, lead sometimes even to untimely death. But we as children of God have the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Have the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have the power of the word of God. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So the word of God, the blood of Jesus, the anointing of the Spirit of God are all given to us as forces from the kingdom of God that we can mobilize and use to oppose and to counteract and to nullify any proclamations or declarations that may have been made which is unfavorable to us. Can I hear a good amen from somebody? If you don't deal with unrighteous pronouncements, you will find yourself probably walking into them. And when you do so, you'll be faced with all kinds of dangers and all kinds of perils and all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of setbacks and all kinds of frustrations and all kinds of evil. But tonight, the desire of God for you is that if there has been any such declaration that has been made or shall be made and which is not in your favor, may the hand of God intercept it and may the power of God cause it to dissipate and be destroyed. Shout a bigger amen, somebody. The plan of God for you and I is to walk in righteous declarations. We are to walk in declarations that is the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God for us. The text we read talks about Israel crossing the Jordan under the leadership of Joshua. The intention was to go take over Canaan. But the first city that they needed to battle for was Jericho. Their desire was to take over all the land of Canaan, but there were strategic cities in the place that needed to be conquered so that the subsequent cities will fall to them. And Jericho was first on the list. Now, before the invasion, spies were sent to spy out the land and to find out what strategy to employ to deal with them. The Bible says when the spies got into Jericho, the national security of that country became aware that a group of people had entered into their territory secretly with the intent of trying to take over the land. So they went around trying to seek for them, and if they had gotten hold of them, that would have been punishable by death. Somehow, God will reveal a woman by name Rahab. She was a harlot, she was a prostitute, and her room, her house was inside the fence wall that surrounded Jericho. So she put them there, hid them, and covered them. Security men went house to house to try to smoke out these foreigners. But Rahab's protection was excellent, and therefore the security of Jericho could not see them. Before they left, Rahab requested something from them, that I know that this city has already fallen to you, and when you come back to take the land by storm, remember to deliver me as well as my entire household. So the Israelites, spies, entered into a vow, a contract with her. And they took back the message to the authorities and said that on the day that we go out there to fight for Jericho, let's remember that although the Lord said we must destroy all things except the silver and gold, which must be brought to the house of God to be dedicated, the lives of Rahab and her entire household must be spared. So, I want to tell you a little about Jericho. The name Jericho means a few things. Number one, it means city of palms. So you find the palm tree. Number two, Jericho means city of the moon. I believe that in the night, the moon expresses itself very strongly over there. And number three, Jericho was the city of fragrance. And I like the third one. It was so named as the city of fragrance because it had a sweet smelling fragrance, like a perfume, anytime you went through the place. I want to speak the word of God over you, that wherever you go, may the fragrance of the Holy Spirit be smelt on you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. May this fragrance manifest as favor. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I remember I was wearing a fragrance, and I was outside this country, and I was in a big mall going through some of the shelves. And there was this lady who was moving from shelf to shelf, and I thought she was looking for some products displayed to buy. Apparently, she was looking for the one wearing that fragrance. And eventually, she caught up with me, and she asked, "Are you the one wearing the fragrance?" I said, "I think so." Then he said, "This fragrance is amazing." And that was all she was looking for, and she walked away. Now, just the fragrance took her attention from the wares that had been displayed. There were things of value that had been displayed over there, but just a little bit of fragrance was enough to draw her attention and eventually bring her to where I was. I am by that prophesying to you that there is a release in the supernatural from the throne of God right now that is mopping up the old fragrance which is not of God and which does not favor you. And in its stead, I command release right now a certain supernatural sweet scent. Oh, I'm not hearing amen. A certain supernatural smell, a fragrance of the presence of God, that wherever you go, before you sit before an interview panel, they will smell this fragrance. Before you walk through any immigration, they will smell this fragrance. Oh, can I hear an amen? That people shall be generous to you by this reason, and people shall be kind to you, and they shall treat you well. Let your amen be even more resounding. So this city was ordained by God as a city of palm, as a city of the moon, and as a city of fragrance. But what was happening in Jericho was far from the sweet smell, sweet scent of that previous fragrance that was associated with it. The city ordained by God to be inhabited by Israel had fallen into the hands of some enemies. They had been living there for some time. And instead of maintaining the fragrance of God in that land, they had gone rather to replace it with fragrance of devils. They had turned away from the service of God, and they had become an idolatrous nation. They had profaned the cities and had lived in lies and had allowed the devil to control them. Further, they went ahead to fortify the city. So they built a thick and a high wall. Historians will tell you that the wall was so thick in width that 7 horses could ride abreast on top of it. So if you pushed it down and thought that you had collapsed the wall, it became another wall. Because it was wide enough, whichever way you pushed it down, it would still be an obstacle in your way. So they had fortified the city, and they had built a wall that you could not break through. It was an impregnable wall. It was a defense that you could not easily break through. Now, the intention of the inhabitants of Jericho was to keep anybody out, including those for whom the land had been ordained. It was to keep even Israel out, that they would never see the fulfillment of the promises of God. Hence, the Lord became displeased with them. Not only are they taking a land which was for some other people, but he had also gone ahead to practice evil and idolatrous worship and were bowing down to other gods. And they had also gone ahead to fortify the city so that nobody could enter. So God had prophesied ahead. You see, that's how God fights. He had prophesied ahead that this city will fall to Israel. Oh, somebody say amen. Because some cities are about to fall to you. You need to catch that. That this city will fall to Israel. And whatever the defense over there, God will break it. And his judgment will be against the inhabitants of Jericho. And he will completely destroy the place. So Joshua went with his people. You remember that they had to go around the city once per day for 6 successive days. Then on the 7th day, the Bible says that they went around the same city 7 times. And at the end of the day, the Bible says the priests were supposed to blow the trumpet. And the rest of the congregation were supposed to shout. And at the blast of the trumpet, and at the shout, the power of God was to be released. And that impregnable wall was to collapse and become flat in front of Israel. Oh, today I declare to you, no matter the satanic fortification and the satanic defense, and the seeming impregnable defense of the devil, there is a mighty power that supersedes any power that has built that kind of city against you. What God has said is for you will fall to you. Those that have inhabited a place and trying to fight against you shall fail. They are fighting a losing battle. There is no way that they can ever win, because the hand of God is mightier than any other hand. The Bible said, once has it been spoken, and twice have I heard, that power belongs to God. And when God begins to move, nobody can stand in his way. And so Israel were silent for 6 days as they went round once on each day. But on the seventh day, they needed to blow the trumpet. They needed to praise God. They needed to glorify his name, because he alone could bring victory to them and bring defeat and inflict harm and pain on their enemies. And tonight I am declaring to you, there is no barrier that God cannot break. There is no wall that God will not bring down. There is no satanic defense that God cannot crush. And there is no fortification that has become impregnable in the sight of God. And if you will lift your voice in faith and power, and you will clap your hands like they did around the walls of Jericho, I can assure you that your faith will be honored by God. Oh, can you lift up your voice, somebody? I can assure you that there will be the release of supernatural power. That even if a relative of yours was in the hospital or was bedridden, the power of God will reach that person, and the healing power will revive that person and put them back on their feet. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I am declaring tonight that if somebody was ordained to die prematurely in your house by reason of your shout, and by reason of your clap and confidence in the word of God and in the Most High God, I declare to you that the hand of God is about to move, and God is about to turn the tide to favor you. The tokens and the of the diviners upon the table shall be overturned, and there shall be no enchantment, no divination that shall prevail against the household of God, for you are ordained and destined to succeed. I plead the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to speak for you, that in your moment of weakness and in your moment of apparent defeat, may God arise on your behalf with shield and buckler. May the Lord be your defense, your strong tower. May he be the God who is the warrior, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, and the God of all battles. May he fight for you, that he will break that yoke in your family. May the family you be broken. As I speak now, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. May your household be delivered tonight on account of the power of the word of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, Mayo Sakataya, may the power of God be at work. That if anybody is out of their mind and they are mad, may soundness come to them. If they are hooked on drugs, on cocaine, on heroin, on crack, on marijuana, on alcohol, may the power of alcohol and the drugs be broken. If any one of yours is caught in gangsterism and they have joined gangs and they are destroying themselves, may God destroy that camp of the devil. devil, and may that gang be dissolved, and may your child be freed, may your relative be free. I declare in the name of Jesus, if peradventure the enemy has taken hold of your prosperity, tonight you are taking it back. You are taking back your city. Jericho belongs to you. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Hittites shall be driven out from the land. We drive them out from the land. Anybody encroaching your property, anybody encroaching your land, tonight we send them out, and we plead and claim back your possession and release it to you by the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Oh, let me hear amen. When you hear the name of Jesus, your amen should even go higher. Let the power of God work. So after Israel shouted, the walls fell flat. I'm preaching, but I want you to believe the word. I say your walls against you are falling flat, flat, flat. The fear that has gripped you is falling flat. The doubt that is disturbing you is falling flat. The unbelief is disappearing. That disfavor is leaving you right now. Premature death is flying out from your household, from your community, and from your life, in Jesus' name. Oh, some people are not clapping. Oh, Makotoyo bros toyo. I sense an anointing in this place. And I'm sure that anointing is in your home. That anointing is right in your car. That anointing is right wherever you are. It may be in your school or even workplace. Receive you that grace wherever you are. Then after the city fell to Israel, Joshua decided to make a pronouncement. Are you getting it now? He made a pronouncement in favor of the children of God and against any enemy that one day will want to recolonize Jericho and take hold of the city and build a defense like the Canaanites did. Joshua said, whether I live or I am dead, I want to make a proclamation. I want to make a righteous declaration. A declaration that will favor the children of God. Oh, can I hear an amen? I am declaring for you, whether you are alive or in a good old age, called to the grave, I declare, may prosperity never cease from your house. Oh, the Bible says that it shall cause his word to be in your mouth, and that same word shall be in the mouth of your children, and that same word shall be in the mouth of your children's children. May the word never depart from the mouth of your lineage. I mean, oh, come on, say amen, somebody. May the word ever remain in your house. May generations unborn and generations alive fall in line with the word and fall in love with the word and live for the word and believe the word. And oh, come on, come on, come on. So in verse 26 of Joshua chapter 6, Joshua said, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates thereof. I think I can make some declarations. Cursed be anyone that tries to recolonize you and your family. And take you back to the devil. I say, it shall not work. It shall not work. We are going forward. We are not going backwards. We are progressing. We are not retrogressing. We are not marking time. There shall be no disobedience in your house. There shall be obedience by the grace of God. People shall not be forced. They will, out of the love of Christ, live in your house for that. Can I hear an amen? And anyone that attempts to take any life from your family, cursed shall that person be. Oh, you are not saying amen. As for me, I'm saying amen while I preach you. Sister, you are not saying amen for yourself. Your amen is weak. I can't hear. Can I hear you say amen, somebody there? Anybody who attempts to tamper with your pregnancy. I'm talking about spiritual powers. Whether it's a witch or wizard, intending to bring miscarriage upon you, or any sad thing to destroy life, may the judgment of God fall against them, and may their lives be taken out first from this world. And may the pregnancy stay, and may the child that is born become great by the grace of God. When Joshua made that proclamation, people heard him, and the word was passed on from generation to generation, that you dare not try to rebuild a place and make it an evil domain like the Canaanites did. And you dare not fortify the walls against the children of God. But long after Joshua had died, there was this man who had such ungodly bravado. You know, some people, they don't care. And don't be that kind of Christian that you can stand and boast somewhere that as for you, you don't care. You must know what has been said. And you must know whether you can deal with it or not deal with it. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? According to Joshua's case, anybody who attempted to rebuild the place in a manner that the Canaanites did, when he lays the foundation, his firstborn must die. And when he completes and puts the final gate in place, his lastborn must die. There was a man by name Hiel, H-I-E-L. This Hiel was from Bethel. So he was a Bethelite, if you like. And Hiel was quite careless and unwise. And instead of seeking prophecies of God and proclamations of righteousness to walk into, Hiel went to do the contrary of what Joshua had prophesied. So he was literally walking into the wrong side of the prophecy. He was walking into a situation where his firstborn was going to die and his lastborn was going to die. Now, Hayao could have been sensitive. When you started and your firstborn died, it's enough, stop it. It's enough, stop it. But Hayao will not stop. And he continued. And when he finished, his lastborn died. Would you rebuild a city at the expense of your family members? At least show love, show some love for your household. Don't you care about your firstborn? And don't you care about your lastborn? That after the first had died, it was enough to tell you. I am sure some people came to tell him, you see the prophecy that Joshua made. That is what is coming against you. But Hayao would not listen. That's 1 Kings 16:34. Hayao, a man who hails from Bethel, reckless and unwise, embarked on the reconstruction of the city. He lost both his first and last borns. His firstborn was Abiram. His lastborn was Segub. He had disregarded the prophetic declarations made many years before by Joshua. Hence his careless and unwise deeds ushered him straight to the wrong side of the prophetic declarations. I want to talk to you that a wise man chooses his battles carefully. And there are some things that you don't have to go on the wrong side. Because the person you may be dealing with could be either prayerful in God or prayerful in the devil. And you have to be strong. If God has given the land to you, then you can go ahead. So that you do not encounter any unrighteous declarations which will be to your hurt or to your detriment. Today, it is our responsibility, you and I, to deal with any unrighteous declarations. Oh, yeah. There are some declarations that say that November the so-so and so, somebody in that family should die. But today, may God raise his hand. Whatever the date is, whether it is this week, next week, this month, next month, this year, next year, or some year following, which is not the will of God, may God raise his hand on your behalf and may he fight your battles for you. May the spirit of death that is staring you in the face be crushed to the ground. And may his power be lost, that the bite of death shall not get you, that the sting of death shall not get you. May God surround you with his presence, and may his angels encamp around you. May his power rest upon you, and may his hand and anointing deliver you. Your amen is dying. Your amen is dying. For declarations, you must be ready with your amen. Don't be an unwise Christian waiting for somebody else to shout before you shout, because your battle is different from their battle. Your challenges are different from their challenges. And if they have no financial problem, you say amen to where prosperity is. If they have no problems for healing, you say amen where there's a sick person in your house and needs to be restored.
Your amen must not be dependent on the people around you. You have liberty to stand and shout. And when nobody says amen, you have a right to endorse the word and embrace it into your life and put your spiritual rubber stamp upon the word. God taught Israel not just to say one amen. When you read the Psalms, he says, say what? Amen and amen.
Oh, I thought you would have said two amen. Number one, amen. And number two, amen. Oh, come on, come on. Somebody must be shouting for victory. Somebody must be shouting for favor, favor, favor. Favor is falling on you. Oh, today we arrest in the name of Jesus any pronouncements made by agents of darkness. And by those that got angry with us and made pronouncements that we shall suffer in childbirth, that it shall not be well with us, that we shall struggle in life, that we may work hard and bring back little into the house. Whatever manner of pronouncement, I stand as a servant of God, and over your life I counteract it right now in the name of Jesus, and dispel every such power and every such force of darkness released from Satan's camp, intended to bring hurt and pain and satanic stagnation. We arrest the powers of darkness. We overpower the spirits of wickedness. We crush the satanic weaponry, and we declare the artillery of Jehovah, the weaponry of God, even Jehovah's weapon of indignation, according to the word of God. We declare the armory of God opened, and we employ the missiles of God. We employ the power of the word. We employ the power of the blood. We employ the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We employ the name of Jesus Christ, and we declare that we shall not die. We shall not die in road accidents. We shall not die on the highways or on the byways. I declare you shall not die in an explosion in your kitchen or your household. You shall not be trapped in fire in the name of Jesus. No flood shall come near where you are, and flood shall not destroy any member of your family. I declare that no spirit of darkness shall shoot any arrow of sickness or disease against your life that shall prevail. We raise the shield of faith, and we counteract every arrow of sorrow, every arrow of pain, every arrow of cancer, every arrow of tuberculosis, every arrow of asthmatic attack, every arrow of blood disease, every arrow of any kind of growth in your womb, we rebuke it by the power of God, and we command deliverance from pain, from sickness, from disease. We break the power of infertility from the church by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, there are some pronouncements that you don't need to walk into. But there are other pronouncements that you need to force
to enter.
Jesus told his audience, strive to enter. There are some places you have to force. You have to strive. You have to pray. You have to declare. You have to confess the word. Absalom rose up against his father and took over the reins of government in a coup d'etat. Disgraced his father in many ways. And such dignified David had to flee from his dear life. And from the palace, he went back to the wilderness where God had lifted him. May that not be your story. May none of your children bring you pain. May they not start selling your things on your blind side. Can I hear an amen? May your children not cultivate a habit that they cannot sponsor, even if they can sponsor and it is not the will of God. May that habit be broken from their lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Then David, a man of war who knows how to head the army of Saul and who knows how to do warfare by his mouth, who defeated Goliath first by his mouth when he had no sword, said that I will cut off your head and give your body to the birds of the air and the beast in the field. And so was the prophecy fulfilled. That man with such divine expertise and experience in battle decided that it is not worth even fighting for the place. Somebody wanted to bring him the Ark of Covenant. He says, take it back. Take it back. Because when the presence of God is with you, wherever you are, that presence is there. And David raised up his voice and would make a declaration that would disfavor the chief advisor of his rebellious son Absalom. And David targeted Ahithophel, whose wicked counsel caused Absalom to sleep on the rooftop with David's concubines nakedly and in a despising manner. And David targeted him. There is no distance in prayer. Your declarations can travel far and accomplish much more than you can imagine. Is somebody hearing me? The Bible said the word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want you to know David sent the word. Today you are going to send the word. You are going to send the word. And David said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Just a one statement prayer, but it was a declaration. It was a formal announcement in the realms of the supernatural that counsel turned into foolishness will lead to depression and somebody will go and commit suicide. And so was the word fulfilled. Tonight I declare, turn the counsel of the witches and the wizards and the occultic forces, turn them into foolishness. Turn the counsel of the wicked that are against us, turn them into foolishness. Turn the counsel of them that seek to divide our tongue, turn their counsel into foolishness and bring shame and reproach upon them and bring death and destruction upon their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And deliver the church, deliver your people, deliver our households. I have said a lot. You are saying very weak amens. Don't wait for me to end. I don't like the way you are responding. I don't like the way you are responding. I don't sense in my spirit you are receiving the word.
but I know you are receiving it now. Take the word, take the anointing, take the grace, take the victory, take the victory. Have the upper hand. May your hand be in the neck of your enemies.
Saul, in 1 Samuel, walked into divine prophetic declarations. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes to enter your purpose, God will make your pastor give you an assignment. He may make your father, your uncle, give you an assignment. The assignment of Saul was to seek the lost donkeys of his uncle. He went round, didn't get it. Went round, and a few days elapsed. Then he asks, is there no prophet in this land? That's when his steps were ordered. When he got to the prophet, Samuel said, the Lord spoke to me about you, that you'll be coming in this place. Yeah. And the first thing that happened is in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 9. He said, the Lord spoke to me that you're coming in this place. And Samuel prepared what the Bible called the chiefest place. In other words, the highest seat of honor for the one coming. Can I prophesy to you? And tell me, are you going to receive it? May God put you on your seat of honor. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm hearing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I see a seat of honor. I said, I see a seat of honor. And those that shout the amen in faith are mounting it now. Mount your seat of honor. There is a special seat for you. It's a seat of glorification. In the name of Jesus. So by the time Saul walked into Samuel's house, a seat had been prepared for him. This is fantastic. The second thing that happened in Sterling, 1 Samuel 9, the second thing was that the Bible says Samuel must have ordered his chef to prepare a meal for Saul, and he was to use the shoulder. The shoulder is one of the places of strength, and it symbolized that God was bringing not just honor by the place he sat, but that supernatural strength was going to come to him. Can I prophesy to you? I see you receiving strength, manifesting supernatural power, demonstrating great anointings, opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, causing the lame to walk, raising the dead, and cleansing the lepers, and blessing the people that must be blessed. I see the power of God working in your household, amongst your children, even on your maid servants and men servants. I bless you in the name of Jesus. If somebody respects you and you are visiting them and they are having you as a guest, they will not give you the legs of the chicken. Number three, what Saul walked into. So Saul has walked into honor, he has walked into power. The third one is in verse 10. It's in chapter 10, rather, verse 1. And Samuel poured oil upon Saul's head. In other words, the Bible says, and he anointed him to be captain over the Lord's inheritance. Tonight, before we pour oil over you, the Lord from on high himself would have poured a supernatural one. Tonight you're going to be anointed. You're going to be anointed. I see your anointing coming. I see your anointing coming. I see the blessings of God upon the elements that we have here. I see the power of God taking charge over your life. That an ordinary person will suddenly be transformed into an extraordinary person. That a weak person shall become stronger. That unfavorable conditions around you shall suddenly become favorable. That the poor shall become richer and wealthy. That the foolish shall become wise in the name of Jesus Christ. That marriages will work and your children will prosper and your businesses will flourish in the name of Jesus. And your wife shall bring forth according to the time of life when they need it. I release the anointing of God to excel academically. I release the anointing of God to walk in purity and in holiness by the grace of God. The Bible said, and he anointed him to be captain over the Lord's inheritance. We anoint you to take your inheritance, right? Verse 2 of chapter 10, 1 Samuel says, Samuel told Saul, as you go ahead, you will find two men around Rachel's sepulcher who shall say to you, the lost asses have been found. The lost asses have been found. I said tonight, I'm prophesying. Be sharp. I said the lost asses. Your lost rib has been found. Your marriage partner has been found. The joy is being restored. The peace is being restored. The energy and vitality are being restored. Receive you grace. May your finances be restored. May God restore you in job and in business. May you be restored emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. I prophesy restoration in your relationships. I prophesy restoration in your ministry. Receive restoration. That which the cankerworm has eaten, that which the locust, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar have eaten. Oh, may the Lord restore to you the years which they have eaten. Oh, the Bible says, fear not. Be glad and rejoice. And know that the Lord shall do great things. I prophesy great things, extraordinary things, super amazing things, things that will beat your imagination. I prophesy them to you. Your lost asses have been found. The one that swindled you has been arrested, and your money restored to you. May God find a way of restoring. May he tell somebody's heart to be generous to you. May your business capital be restored by the name of Jesus. May that pregnancy be restored. You can receive it for your sister, or you can receive it for her. I say, may that pregnancy be restored by the power. You can receive it for your daughter or your son. May that pregnancy be restored, be restored, be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. The fifth thing that okay, Samuel told Saul, at Tabor you shall meet three men and they shall give you two loaves of bread. At Tabor you shall meet three men and they shall give you two loaves of bread. The Lord says in the Lord's Prayer, how does it start? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Oh, say it aloud, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this, come on. May you receive on daily basis your daily bread. Oh, come on, come on. May the supplies from God reach you. May the provisions of God on daily basis. What you need for school fees may be provided. For accommodation may be provided. For transportation may God provide for you. For utility bills to maintain your family, to continue the project and to finish the project, for your overseas travels and local travels, may God provide and give you bread, and on top of that give you the bread of life. Saul was just looking for the lost donkeys of his uncle. And you want to give you some job, you don't want to do it. Every time you grumble. But as Saul was doing it with joy, in frustration, God had plans for you. May you discover the purpose of God. And may the fulfillment in that purpose materialize. Let me hear louder, amen. Let me hear. The man was just, look at what he was walking into. Righteous declarations. And let me give you, I think, the final one. No, the penultimate one. The fifth one is, no, the sixth one is in verse 5 of 1 Samuel 10. You shall come to the hill of God. And you shall meet the company of prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And thou shalt prophesy to be turned into another man. Can I announce to you? I say, can I announce to you now that we are at the heel of God? Whether you are watching me home, or you are watching in your car or any place, I say that you are in the heel of God. We sanctify where you are and declare you are at the heel of God. And at the hill, you will meet some people prophesying. And a prophetic anointing is going to come upon you. And you will start prophesying. May God anoint you. That before the next miracle comes, God will speak to you. Any blessings which will come, and may He help you prophesy into your life. And into your family, and into the lives of your friends, and into that of your ministry. May the anointing, may a prophetic grace, revelatory grace, insight, and foresight, things that God wants you to know and capture in the present and into the future, that you may even know the past. May a prophetic grace fall upon you now and open your eyes to see in the realms of the supernatural, in Jesus' name. The final one is in verse 7. And I like it. And he says, when you see the signs, it means God is with you. For me, I'm saying, when you hear this message, as you hear this message, and you have believed it, it means God is with you. As he was with Joseph when he was in his father's house, as he was with Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house, as he was with Joseph when he went into prison, as he was with Joseph and raised him high, may the Lord be with you that way. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, the Lord with you. I say, Emmanuel, may God be with you. May the Lord be with you in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, in the night. May the Lord be with you, that no harm shall befall you. May the Lord hide you in a secret place and under his shadow, that you will say of the Lord, is my strength and my refuge and my God, in him will I trust. May 1,000 fall at that side and 10,000 at the right hand side. May the enemy not come near you, but may you behold the reward of the wicked as the Lord destroys them, because you have set your love upon him. May he deliver you from any entanglements. May he deliver you from any dangers and perils. May he deliver you. May you know God is with you. May true vine know God is with them. May your household know God is with you as the family head, as the woman, as the man, as the husband, as the wife. May the family know, as a child, that God is with you, as he was with Samuel in Eli's house. May the Lord be with you in your going out and in your coming in. May the Lord be with you in the daytime and in the nighttime. May the Lord be with you in your business and after you return home, at school, and when you are in your residence. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord give you ideas. May he give you wisdom, understanding, grace, enablement, blessings. May the Lord be with you to be promoted on your job. May doors open. May opportunities open. May God give you wealth and substance.